CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. As a campus and community station, CJSF strives to provide points of view that are rarely expressed on mainstream media. This includes music that is not the top 40 and news you will not find on the big media outlets. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca. Just a bend in time. And how does it feel together?
Welcome to Teachings in the Air. Podcast with Jerry Oldman, coming to you from Hunkaminam territory with a podcast series about Indigenous men's health and wellness. We aim to inspire, motivate, and empower Indigenous men to be sound in mind, body, and spirit, because that's what health means. This is Teachings in the Air with Jerry Oldman. Holy, it's season five for the podcast, Teachings in the Air. So I've been thinking about this since we wrapped up the last season, and I follow a theme, or I've come to do that, and this year it's going to be around strong mind, strong body, strong spirit. You know, that's how, when I think about my life, I had to do a purification of my mind, of the negative messages that settled into my brain. I had to purify my body to get work done on my body, to get rid of the negativity in my muscle cells. And my spirit, I needed to strengthen my spirit so I'd have an incredible will to live and to succeed, so that nothing would stop me on what I feel is my purpose. So that's what I wanted to focus on this year. And oh, I've been talking to my team and to people that I could interview on panels, you know, for this season, and I'm looking forward to it. Because a lot of it's about finding out what works for the people, to inspire people to go look for healing, to look for wellness, a way to take care of their body, their mind, and their spirit. And to find the healers. You know, a healer is someone that helps an individual to become original before the damage. And of course, you know, the experience physically, I'll give a simple example, is if I break my arm, like my wrist, then I go to the healer, and the healer sets the bone in place and binds it up in a cast, until it forms again and heals, and it's just like before it was broken. So that's for the body. And for the mind, you know, for me to wake up in the morning and not be thinking negative, but look forward to the day. What am I going to do today? You know, who am I going to call? You know, even what am I going to eat? Or what am I going to do? So my spirit has that willpower to keep going. To be out with the people, to be out with Mother Earth, to be part of life, not fighting life. So when I started doing this podcast business, you know, or this work, I said, well, it's all going to be about teaching so that people can learn, you know, to solve problems, their problems. That's what counseling means. The word counsel actually means problem solving. And I know that I needed to be taught. I needed to get teachings on how to take care of myself. So the podcast will be teachings, and I'll ask people to teach, to share with the listeners positive ways of healing, and so there'll be positive outcomes. To motivate people to have that thought in their mind, I can do this. These ones that are on Teachings in the Air are role models for me, and they're showing me that this can be done. So to motivate people to take care of their mind, their body, and their spirit. You know, I've been inspired by people that went through healing. I've been inspired by healers and knowledge keepers that shared with me how it was done, how it can be still done today, how we can achieve healing and wellness in our life, in my life. So the podcasts are to help us understand, to help all of us understand, because once we achieve a clear understanding, we can take action. Positive action. So always I want to create understanding, not confusion. You know, healing and wellness is our personal responsibility as adults. We must do this. We must. I must. My late cousin would say, when you say we, are you talking about you and that mouse in your pocket? No, I'll talk about Jerry. Once I achieved understanding, I could take action. One of my big understandings was it wasn't my fault, the trauma of residential school. And not to go around acting like it's my fault or I'd done something wrong. I did not do anything wrong. I was simply being a child and a teenager. You know, so once I understood that, I could start my healing journey. That I didn't ask for trauma. I didn't ask for wounding of my mind or my body or my spirit. Because that's what, you know, trauma is literally means to wound. My mind was wounded by the racist messages I heard in the air of stupid Indians, of lazy Indians, you know, of my people. My people. I didn't want to be ashamed of my people. I belong to my family, my community. When I think of myself as a child, it was an inclusive community. We're all together. We're all in this together. We're part of this. We have the funeral feasts, or when I was a child, I don't know how new that was, but there were bazaars, but they called it a bazaar, where we'd all go together and they're alcohol and drug free, and then the ladies would be and the mothers would be making food, you know, and they go there, and it's like a craft fair, too. They could sell things or trade things, you know. And Oh, it was wonderful. As a child, I'd be excited about going to those. I remember my late mother combing my hair, you know, using the Brill cream. Brill cream was a product in those days, you know, to try and get my hair to be into a nice wave, you know, and clean clothing. Remember, I used to wear suspenders as a child. You know, oh, it was inclusive. We were all there, and there would be laughter and people visiting and sharing. We're okay. You know that they weren't talking about racism or colonization at those gatherings. We're enjoying each other's presence. We were at that time being medicine for each other. Inclusive. Supporting each other, laughing together. And I'd see the same when one of our relatives went to the spirit world. We'd come together again, and it would be inclusive. Oh, everybody would have food. You know, the table set. When I was a young child, we'd go. You know, I couldn't go to the funeral service. It wasn't our culture. But I can go to the feast. But I couldn't go to the graveyard or the service. That wasn't explained to me why, but my reasoning is that I wasn't mature enough to process that. But anyway, we'd go to the funeral feast. And there'd be an elder. We're eating. We're all outside and by the fire or inside. And they'd have these tables in a row with chairs on each side. Someone would come and say, the table's set. Then people would go find a place to be seated. And they'd bring out the food. I remember deer meat, salmon. There'd be a big bowl of bones because the marrow was, oh, it's so delicious to say that word. I say marrow and I go, I want some. The deer bone marrow. They would cut the bones and boil them. But it was all inclusive. We were all together. We were all one. You know, so that's, in my mind, in my reasoning, that's where I want us. We're still there, but to purify it a little bit, to tune it up, because we are now in times in conflict in our communities, family against family. You know, so a strong mind, strong body, strong spirit can contribute to reconciliation in our communities, in our families. We have families fighting each other, brother against brother, cousins against cousins. You know, in my imagination, it wasn't that way before. So the goal is to, like I say, to bring understanding so that we can all live a wellness life. And we can all help each other reach our potential, especially our children. You know, so they can become a professional or a business person, a successful business person in their life. That they have an incredible feeling of purpose so that they will not self-harm or harm each other. So healing and wellness, that's what is an outcome of healing and wellness, is how we are with each other in our communities, our families, how we're living together. You know, there are words have guided all human beings through history, because we can communicate. And I now, of course, have learned that words can heal, or words can destroy, or words can confuse or trick. So we have to be careful with our words that we use when we're communicating with each other. The instructions I received were to be careful and sincere with your words, because they go through the air and they enter the other human being. So be careful and be sincere. Don't play with words. You know, some of the words that came out were in regards to identity. But I just today looked up the word identity in a dictionary, and it's a Latin word, and it's about sameness, about being the same. So there's racial identity. I'm Statlium, so I'm with the Statlium people. Of course, then identity gets confused at times, and I think my mother, late mother, tells me, "Oh yeah, we're part Spanish and we're part Irish." So I have to sit down and reason that out. My conclusion over the years was, who am I to criticize one of my relatives that fell in love with a Spaniard or an Irish person? Or however it happened. And I said, well, it's not up to me. I don't want to be identity police. But I could see what identity is doing today. It's one of the things I see. It's stopping us from being human beings together. I've been recently in conversations with others that aren't Statlium, that are Canadians, like of European descent. And during a conversation, you know, because I work with different organizations and institutions. And I'd say, you know what, you're not. You know, to me right now at this moment, you're not a white person and I'm not indigenous. We're just two human beings working together. And I prefer that. Because people have a hard time to shake a created identity. I know that's the truth for myself. I had a hard time to shake that stupid Indian identity or the negative, the ism. You know, that ism that they add to a noun, like racism, the negative between races. And that was built up by the words that were inferior, that just other human beings are inferior to us. We're superior. With our religion, we're superior to them because they don't know Christ and they're pagan heathen savages. That's part of identity that was created. I'm pretty sure why Statlium relatives before contact weren't calling themselves pagans or heathens or savages. Uchulmucha, they would say. Original people from this part of Mother Earth. Ul, original. So that's a good description. It's a new identity that I started to deal with so my mind will be strong and my body and my spirit. Because I was wounded by the racist talk. Being stupid and drunken, lazy, crazy, all those negatives. I needed to say to myself, that's not me. That's not my identity. I am not that. Don't you tell me what to be. I had to get that attitude. You know, the isms that come to us have been very destructive alcoholism. Negative between alcohol and my body. I was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. You know, the alcohol in my body and my mind, my spirit just don't mix. They're not meant to be together. Share it with people, you know, I learned that alcohol wasn't part of Statlium culture. We didn't have it. It was introduced to us. It wasn't part of our way of life, wasn't part of our culture. That's why I say it's a created identity to say drunken Indian or indigenous person. Before contact, you couldn't find a drunken Statlium ever. We didn't have alcohol. So those isms have been doing a lot of harm around identity. Because they'd make us all the same. That's what stereotyping is. Stereo actually is referring to twins. That just because I got braids and my dark complected First Nations, that someone would say that means he must be a drunk because of a created identity, which is farthest from the truth ever. I'm not a drunk. I don't drink. So those isms, I had to deal with them myself, within myself. You know that racism, I know it exists. I know there are racists out there. And I've learned, you know, how to navigate around people that are racist. So that doesn't mess up my day, doesn't mess up my life. Because it's not about me. They don't know me, a person that's being racist towards me. They don't know that Sahil that is generous and kind and respectful. That's all they see is what they've been taught, that the indigenous people are inferior. They grew up with that. Must be. That's what I figured out. They must have grown up with that ever since children, that worldview of indigenous people. Or, you know, even different people. Because it's, I know that in Canada, what they call the East Indians or the people from India, were treated badly when they first come here too, because they were different. Same with the Chinese or Orientals. Everyone that came here at the beginning of Canada were given an identity, and it's usually of inferiority, which is totally wrong, not right. So that racism has had a big impact. All of the isms, alcoholism, you know, has had big impacts on me, my family, in my community. So the podcasts are going to help us understand this whole ism business and the impacts it had on an individual's mind, body, and spirit. For me, my mind, I learned how to think negative about myself and about people around me. You know, and so because of that, I didn't see the goodness in people. I lost opportunity to have wonderful friendships with others. You know, it's been a long, winding road for me. And I do believe I've missed out on a lot of opportunities because of ism. Racism, alcoholism. So the impacts have been negative on me. My body became unhealthy. My mind, my spirit, that term, ennui, which means my life had become hateful to me. I don't deny that today. Yes, that happened. Yes, that was an impact on me. But I'd rather have people say, how did you get out of it, Jerry? What worked for you? That's what I want to share with Strong Mind, Strong Body, Strong Spirit podcasts. So that others can know, hey, I can get out of this negative trap about me and my life. Yeah, you know, one of the things I know that ageism, and I think that's happened probably in every generation, that we struggle with our elders at times. When I was a young, in my 20s and 30s, I think my elders were old fashioned, And I think about it, they weren't old-fashioned. They were living in a way that worked. Time-tested. Our culture was time-tested. Generation after generation were doing life the same way. Training their children the same way. Harvesting food the same way, so nothing would go extinct. It'd be here forever with us. That's how where we come from as a people. People that had a way of life and governance. They had authority and jurisdiction over the territory they lived on, and they would take care of it. Their authority was to protect what lives on Mother Earth. Protect from who? From us human beings. We're the ones that would overhunt and overfish if we don't have the laws to prevent that. And we had those. I tell people today nothing was going extinct when the indigenous people were here on Turtle Island by themselves. Because we had laws here on the land that come from the land, and we followed them and we obeyed them. You know, so the impacts, when I think of the impacts of these isms, and I think, well, it impacted me for sure. And because it impacted me and because I'm part of a family, it impacted the family too. And because I come from a community, it impacted the community too. So me, my family, my community were all impacted by isms. And I think of the word exorcism, which means to the ism that there's something evil. And they want to get rid of that, to exorcise that evil spirit in that person. And then when I think about that in indigenous ways, yes, that's a ceremony to purify and heal someone that's confused and messed up. I think there was evil too. People that became evil and they were dealt with. You know, so that's what I'd like to address this season, is to help us understand how our mind, our body, and our spirit can be weakened. But more importantly, how we can strengthen it, how we can cleanse our mind, our body, our spirit. How we can heal it if it needs healing.